This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mary Kay, 20. Think it's okay for Luka Doncic to have a beer before the game?
Yeah, why not?
I don't understand where you're like, oh, he's earned it. What's he earned? He's not an MVP.
He's never been
an MVP, right?
I didn't say that he's earned it. I'm saying I can understand.
But other people were saying, we had people calling in saying, oh, he's earned it. He's a pro athlete. You go, so what?
I completely understand that he would think at this stage of his career, the way he's dominated the league, the way that he has basically here single-handedly taken a team to the Western Conference Finals. He took care of, extinguished the number one seed on the road and did so in humiliating fashion against Devin Booker and Chris Paul. Like, I can imagine that he thinks whatever he does when everybody's ripping his body and that he comes into the year supposedly out of shape, I can understand the ego of him at this stage to say, well, I can do whatever I want. Look at what I'm doing to the league. I'm unstoppable. Golden State last night had to have five guys with a head on a swivel on me on every single play. That's how good that I am, and that I can smirk and laugh and, you know, have these facial expressions after every play, rubbing it in, just humiliating the rest of the league like he did to the Phoenix Suns.
And he did do that, and then they got smashed by Golden State. And the Phoenix, I mean, people, I've always been kind of wondering about the Suns. Like, are they as good as what we think they are? Did they have a hot year? Is this something that's fully sustainable? Well, we know from experience Golden State is something that's sustainable. And the Warriors are back, and I liken Steph Curry to an NFL quarterback. I think they're built like an NFL team, the Warriors are. Everything's based around Curry. He's the franchise quarterback, and he elevates the play of everybody else. Like, Jordan Poole's good. Would Jordan Poole be as good if he were playing with about 97% of the other teams? Not a chance. Not a chance. He's good. He's good already, but would we look at him in the same vein? No. And I would look at – now, I don't have any room to say this to Luka Doncic because I'm just a dude, but if you're one of the other people, what have you earned? Oh, you're beating the brakes off the rest of the NBA. First off, 97% of the NBA is not to be taken seriously. Golden State's to be taken seriously. You need to put this type of effort up against Golden State and beat Golden State. Maybe you will. But you showed up fat. You showed up looking like Ken Carman. And Ken Carman drinks beers in the middle of the day. But Ken Carman isn't expected to go out there and beat Golden State. You are. You haven't won an MVP. You've been an all-star. Who cares? You know how many guys have been all-stars? We look back and go, that guy was an all-star. You've been an all-star. Nobody cares about that. Not in this league. You want to be part of the 1%. You haven't won a championship. You haven't won an MVP. Even though Luka wasn't drinking beer before the game yesterday.
It was a fake picture.
From the other
day. It wasn't a fake picture. It was a real picture, but it was taken from another day.
Yes, true. It's a real picture, yes. But we're going off the hypothetical of Luka Doncic wanted to drink a beer, could he or
could he not. I just know we have all these great stories of
before the game.
Legends in sport doing God knows what. Who's the one that threw the perfect game on basically LSD?
Doc Ellis. Ellis would have went out there.
Why do we revere these stories, but we're crushing him if he had a beer?
Because they're so much fun to tell afterwards. Because it's such a tough thing for us to see. Professional sports is so difficult that when we hear these stories, we can't believe it. Because if Doc Ellis would have went out there like Johnny Depp in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas and thought bats were flying over him, I think it would have been a different story. And we look at a guy like Wade Boggs. We look at other guys going up loaded and all that other stuff. I made Owen laugh. Fantastic.
I just imagine him on the mound going, oh!
Oh, my God! But look at Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon admitted to drinking before games.
Mm. That's sad.
It's sad. But we tell stories about, oh, this guy and that guy, they were boozing the night before the Super Bowl and they went out there and won. Yeah, when you win, you get to tell stories and everybody laughs and laughs. The successful get to write the history. And the other ones are cautionary tales. If Luka Doncic goes out there and rips off 10 world championships or 3 world championships, for crying out loud, fine. Go drink the boot. Do beer bongs. You can have a beer bong while Jerry West holds it up for you. I don't care what you do. Even though, again, we're going over a hypothetical because he wasn't drinking before the game.
Right.
So I really shouldn't say, like, hey, you showed up looking like Ken Carman. That's kind of mean-spirited when you think about
it. I think it's hilarious that everybody just assumed it was real because it's Luka. Had it have been somebody else, they would have thought, there's no way he's doing that on a game day. But because it's Luka and he looks the way he looks, he does not look like I told Sarah. Because
I got another
theory
to this. Continue.
We always run these things by our significant others to find out if we're in the bubble or not. And I'm like, hey, do you know who Luka Doncic is yet? And she goes, no. I said, hey, look at him. He's that guy. He's number 77. She goes, that guy? Like, she was shocked that he looked like that. She thought he was 50 years old. And I said, he's 22.
If he would have been out there, you're going to laugh. If he would have been out there with Spencer Dinwiddie, or he would have been out there with Reggie Bullock or whoever.
It's Bullock now, by the way.
Oh, excuse
me.
Sorry.
To know
Reggie Bullock. Okay. Well,
one of these guys that changes their name in the middle of their career.
Yeah. Brad Marchand.
Right.
Reggie Bullock. If he would have been out there with Reggie Bullock or Spencer Dinwiddie, no one would believe that was taken. But since he was out there with Boban,
right,
and he doesn't really play, totally believable. Because it's like, he's with Boban. Who cares? Boban's fun. Fun guy, hang around with. You would believe it's that day. Going back to Walter and Akron's call about giving Andrew Berry a pass.
Well, remember, now he said his call was very specific at the end of last segment. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait for your rebuttal here because he's been saying a lot of the things that I've been saying, which is I really like Andrew Berry. I think he is running.
Oh, so you love Walter's call.
I think he is running a world-class operation right now. There's not only is a competence, which is a very low bar.
And he said he listens every now and then.
It's not just competence now. There's a reason.
Make sure you come correct.
That the rest of the NFL is now plucking guys. Like we're the Guardians. Like we're the Indians. Like they are plucking front office guys.
You said it right the first
or
time.
Attempting to. Just so they know, I think some people forget we have a baseball team. But they're plucking management
Dustin
guys.
Fox.
And so they continue to do that. It shows that they do have a good organization. I think one thing they've absolutely failed is their management of injuries and their management of ego. And these are not the easy things. I don't think while people are getting ready to have these jobs, it's tough. How do you put on a resume?
Well,
I know how to deal with people.
That's part of my
I have
excuse.
A pulse of a locker room.
Well, they did that in Office Space. That's part of what the argument is for Andrew Berry and the excuse I'm making for Andrew Berry. If you have a capable quarterback, a franchise quarterback, that takes care of a lot of ego because you go out there and you make better plays and you win. So that takes care of the quote-unquote ego problem because it's just so much harder to ask for leadership from the other positions. It can be done. It has happened, but it's so much harder to ask for leadership, true organizational leadership from the other positions. You got to be able to lead and make plays. But my excuses go back. This goes back a long time. What else was Andrew Berry supposed to do getting ready for the 2021 season? Like, oh, you signed it. You signed Baker Mayfield to $18.5 million. Because when he says he kills Baker Mayfield's market value, if Baker Mayfield was available for $3 million, Baker Mayfield would have been gone 3 months ago. But it's $18.5. What was he supposed to do? Because you had this good year of Baker Mayfield. Hey, maybe we can kick the tires on the rest of this career and see whether or not this kid has it. I bet there was an open mind there with Andrew Berry. I don't think it was always closed just because John Dorsey made his own decisions. But we have to make this tough decision on this guy.
Well, if it was closed, they wouldn't have done the extension.
Thank you very
the
much.
The fifth-year option.
Bingo. So they went there. They signed the fifth-year option. I know they had to pick up the fifth-year option for any of this. I get that. But you get the fifth-year option on the guy because he never played that terrible for crying out loud. Until he got the injury. Then he just didn't have any confidence. But you didn't see the injury coming. You had to sign the $18.5 million because you didn't have the other player. When you had to get the $18.5 million, the other player was playing for the Houston Texans.
Sure.
In
sure.
this scenario.
Yeah.
And the other quarterbacks. And now all of a sudden, hold on for just a second. You've gone 1-31. You got Miles. You got all these other players. Yeah, I'm in too deep. I have to sign this guy.
No, I get that.
I have to continue this with this guy.
I get that part of it. But... maybe you're just going to put all this on Baker me, you, like Browns fans,
I'm making excuses for Andrew Berry, so maybe I
sure want to put this all on Baker and his attitude. But was Baker's attitude so atrocious? Was it so bad that he could possibly go from a potential top 10 player by PFF standards quarterback to can't find a job right now and no one's lining up to get him?
No.
And you're like, this seems steep. This
no.
seems almost like exaggerated. And again, in San Francisco, now Debo, maybe you could put a hole into my argument because Debo wants out and we'll see how they handle it. But they drafted Jimmy Garoppolo's replacement and yet Jimmy got them close to the score. Well, the team, but they almost went to the Super Bowl. They almost went to the Super Bowl. In our situation, it was so scorched earth that the quarterback is being close to not having a job, and Odell Beckham had to leave, and they got nothing for him. That's not good management.
But also look at where it is right now. And I've kind of had that secret theory about Jadeveon Clowney. It's like, is Jadeveon Clowney maybe not signing because certain people are still on the team and he wants to be assured that that person isn't going to be playing, he ain't going to be playing with him? I'm not sure. That can be speculative. I get that. I don't want to call it reckless because we hear things, but it is speculative. The other part of it is simply this, is that it went to an era that none of us were ever thinking that it was going to go to last year. Playing hurt, getting ugly, OBJ demanding a trade halfway through the year and then getting cut halfway through the year, and we've been over that autopsy a million times over. I don't think Andrew Berry could have seen it. I don't think that Jimmy Haslam could have seen it, or any fan out there, even the most cynical fan, might not have seen it going that way. So now you're stuck. Again, he's had to have made tough decisions based on where you're at. You know it's a good team. You knew it was a good team 2 years ago. You know it's a good team now. I'm stuck. I got to make this move. And you know how the quarterback is. I either go back with that quarterback who I don't have faith in, go out there and lose, and then I've wasted another year, or I'm going to take a shot with this guy who, yes, has this huge cloud following him around, and we just don't know what his future is going to be right now, or immediate future is going to be right now. He picked the other option. Because at the end of the day, which one's the better quarterback? You can go around the room. Every one of us is going to say Deshaun Watson. And that's what his job is. Find the better, more talented quarterback. Up next, Mary Kay Cabot. 920, Ari Wasserman. Pressure's on for Ryan Day. Is it a requirement to win a national championship? Ken Carmen, Anthony Lyman, live on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Ari Wasserman, 920. So this is where, this is why I got upset. I didn't get upset, but I was like, hey, you take a little bit of a break on certain things that we do as a show. By the way, we have a podcast coming up right after this show. You're going to want to listen to it. There's nothing else worth listening to at 10:15. You listen to us. 92.3 The Fan Extra. Brought to you by Extend Technologies on the Odyssey app. Boom. Mater Knows tweets at me. Said, Ken, and I'm going to get to Mary Kay here in a moment. Said, Ken, did I hear you correctly? If Watson, listen to me over here, Tom. Ken, did I hear you correctly? If Watson doesn't play the whole season and we don't do well, then we should fire Kevin Stefanski? We should fire our head coach for not having his starting quarterback? Question mark, question mark, question mark. Cleveland media is out of their mind. And I said, you did not hear me correctly. I said, you will call in and say that. That's what I said. And why do I know that? Because Jeremy in Akron, 30 minutes ago, tweets at me, Ken, care to comment on the rumor Sean Payton will replace Kevin Stefanski after Deshaun's 24-game suspension? I went, That's a joke, clearly, Jeremy is making. However, that's the point. That team doesn't start off well. Lima already planted that seed about Sean Payton. You think fans are going to call in about Sean Payton? And if we're willing to give up $230 million guaranteed to Deshaun Watson, what type of check is Jimmy willing to write Sean Payton?
It's all on the table now, right?
You guys know it. I don't want it to happen. I like Kevin Stefanski. I happen to think he's an all right guy and a good coach. But we know each other. Well, guys, you know this. Now that any move is capable of being made in the NFL, Lima, you brought up, what's stopping them from signing Sean Payton? What's stopping them from doing that?
You know you'll just do it. Pivoting at any time, but part of that is not exciting for the fan base? Might not be.
That's why they'll do it.
Might not work out over time as the best management style, best way to run an organization. But in the meantime, the fans can never lose hope because, hey, we can get rescued at any time.
There you go. Now that seed is planted, it's way back there in the deep recesses of people's mind. And if they lose games, it'll come to the forefront. Or they'll win games with Jacoby Brissett, and we will think Kevin Stefanski is the best thing since Paul Brown. One of the two. Set up to be a very big year either way for Kevin Stefanski. Let's go to Mary Kay Cavett. She joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, Mary Kay.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Oh, you know, we're just talking about this whole thing. We don't want to be speculative, but it's hard not to speculate. You know, what else are we supposed to do? What's the latest you're hearing about Deshaun Watson, if anything? Tell us, please.
Well, the truth of the matter on the Deshaun Watson situation right now is the fact that the NFL is playing this really, really close to the vest. They are not saying anything to anyone about anything. So I don't know where, I mean, people are speculating and throwing things out there on Twitter, and time frames are taking on a life of their own. And the truth of the matter is nobody really knows yet what Sue L. Robinson will hand down for Deshaun Watson or when. And then it gets into the hands on appeal of Roger Goodell. And at that point, no one knows what he will decide. So for anyone to be speculating, how does this even get started where all of a sudden he's going to be getting suspended for a full year and then it just kind of takes off from there and goes viral. And really, no one knows exactly what's going to happen.
I mean, honestly, Mary Kay, we kind of pay attention because, I understand what I am and what Lima is. Lima's done TV reporting, so Lima's different. But I make comments on the radio. I try to be measured with those comments as best I can, but I'm not a journalist. I'm a clown for everybody's amusement. You guys are journalists. You, Florio, Josina Anderson, so on and so forth there. So we kind of take whatever insider information we can. And when I read that there's NFL sources telling Josina Anderson and they are referencing the Trevor Bauer situation for Major League Baseball, I get nervous. I, as a Browns fan, I get nervous about that. I go, if we're referencing Trevor Bauer, holy cow, when are we ever going to see this guy on the field?
Okay, but there is a difference between an NFL official,
yes,
someone from the NFL leaking something like that out, which of course they would never do that, and someone in the NFL that has a job in the NFL or connected with the NFL stating an opinion to someone. So you have to consider that there are different levels of information that are being put out there, and so that's all I'm trying to say is that I really highly doubt that someone in the NFL office or connected with the NFL office would put out something like that and connect Deshaun's situation with Trevor Bowers.
Well, then end this smoke here because I don't want to see any fire. I got a two-parter here for you. It is Roger who makes the decision, Goodell, Sue Robinson presents everything, and then Roger is the final one. Is that correct, or is that incorrect?
That's upon appeal.
Upon appeal.
So Sue L. Robinson, the former U.S. district judge, mm-hmm, will make the initial determination on suspension, fine, combination, or whatever the case may be. Then Deshaun will appeal, and upon appeal, Roger Goodell or someone that he appoints will then determine the final punishment, and that one is final.
And then our imaginations run wild because then, well, we heard Steve, we heard Steve Buscemi and what he had to say. You know, he is a conduit. Roger Goodell is a conduit for the owners. I don't think it makes Browns fans feel a lot better to hear that Roger Goodell would be the guy on upon appeal.
Steve Buscemi now? We've got
actors. Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? We've called him Steve. We've called Steve Buscemi,
yeah,
Steve Buscemi so many times, it just naturally came out. It was like a running gag on the show, and it just came out. I'm sorry.
Who has enough to worry about with his kicker holding out and that news that came out earlier. Mary Kay Cabot joined us on the hotline. So, obviously, the news that came out, there's a big debate on whether it's news or not and whether the Browns knew this aspect of it based on what was available to them, what depositions, what video. We know they did not talk to any of the accusers. So was it news to them, Mary Kay, when the USA Today put out that Deshaun Watson last week testified that at the end of one of the massages, one of the accusers was left in tears and he had to apologize via text? How much of that did the Browns know when they offered him this contract?
I'm sure they knew that. I'm sure that they combed over, and their legal people did, and their own investigators did, read all of those lawsuits very, very carefully. And I highly doubt that that came as a shock to them. Now, you will be hearing, if these 22 civil suits are not settled, you are going to hear a lot of things. The plaintiff's attorney, Tony Busby, is eager to get a lot of things out in the public to start to sort of get the ball rolling here and shape public opinion and those kinds of things. So you'll be hearing a lot of this if the depositions continue to go on. He actually does have 6 more depositions coming up in late June from the 21st to the 23rd. So more of this type of stuff can come out. But the civil suits might end up, if he doesn't settle them, might end up and probably will end up not going to trial until after this season. So things might settle down during the year, or more of this stuff can continue to come out.
The glorious Mary Kay Cabot with us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Well, the reason I ask the question is, obviously, when the Browns ended up doing this, and Andrew Berry, along with Kevin Stefanski, got up there and talked about the fact that they were comfortable with this move, and Jimmy Haslam and Dee Haslam, while they weren't in person over Zoom in another country, they talked about this, and this was something Deshaun Watson from a deposition last week where he testified last week. We knew that the accuser had said that she was crying. I had never seen it written that Deshaun Watson had admitted to it, because so far it had been a lot of he said, she said, and 2 very different accounts of what happened. That's why I wondered, because if all of a sudden more information starts coming out about the Browns, I mean, they're going to be pressed on what they knew and when they knew it. And I do think it's applicable, especially for a fan base right now that seems divided on how they feel about this move being done in the first place.
Well, once again, what's going to happen is if the 22 civil suits are not settled, this is just the tip of the iceberg in the things that you will be hearing. And again, you know, there hasn't been all that much put out there yet about Deshaun's side of it, but there will be more, because as of right now, it's perfectly legal to let these things out publicly. And Tony Busby will be sure to do that as these civil suits and these depositions go along. So this is just going to be one thing after another over the next how many ever months.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us here on the show. Okay, moving on to another player here. Hearing some reports here, Jeremy Fowler wrote about it. David Njoku, long-term deal, he's looking in the neighborhood of $13 million plus. What are you hearing?
They've been talking extensions since last November, and, you know, ultimately the first thing that happened was the franchise tag. So, yes, they've been talking extension all the way through. They've never really stopped doing that. The deadline to get that done for a franchise player is July 15th. I think both sides really would like to have something done by then. And, yes, he's looking to be paid like one of the top tight ends in the NFL. Now, his production hasn't matched it so far, So the Browns can either say, hey, you know what, we want to see you go out and actually do it before we pay you that money over the long haul. Or they can just pay him on the upside potential that he will produce like that with Deshaun Watson as his quarterback.
I mean, if they're willing to pay him $13 million a year on a long-term deal, I mean, I understand that the tight ends are always overpaid right now, and he's on a franchise tag, but if they're willing to pay the guy $13 million a year on a long-term deal, are we just blaming everything on Baker Mayfield? Is that how this is going to go?
I don't think it's just that. I think it's you have to remember that Andrew Berry was part of that 27 draft where they traded up into the first round to draft David Njoku. He's always thought very, very highly of him. I think he looks back at his career and sees that it was a bumpy, rocky road. He ended up in Freddie Kitchen's doghouse. He's never really had the chance to produce. Then they tried to make Austin Hooper be the number one tight end here the last 2 years, and that didn't work out. So once again, David Njoku really didn't have a chance to get out there and show what he could do when he was getting all the tight end targets.
Well,
now he will. Not only that, he'll be getting them from Deshaun Watson, who can get the ball there, who can get it there in a hurry, who can get it exactly where it's supposed to be, which Baker could do that, it seemed, at one point before he got injured last year.
I got nothing against David Njoku. I understand that some of this hasn't been his fault, but I mean, $13 million a year for a tight end who has not proven anything, like, it just sounds more and more like we're just going to blame everything on the outgoing quarterback. I got to put something on David Njoku there. There's no way I could pay him $13 million a year on a long-term deal right now.
Well, I've always maintained that David Njoku can produce twice what he has in the past. And for me, that means he's an 8-touchdown-a-year tight end. And those guys do make that kind of money. $13 million a year, actually, these days, isn't that much money. You see these wide receiver contracts going through the roof. So really, $13 million for an excellent starting tight end, and they believe that he's capable of way, way more, isn't really that much.
Huh. We're sitting here in disbelief.
I'm sorry,
a little bit.
I turn my mic off. I go, what? Those are starting wide receivers. Excellent tight end. The term excellent. I watch every game 4 times over.
Is it just Njoku's age, because he was drafted so young and because he's still so very young, that I've seen teams all the time make the key mistake of over-evaluating their own draft picks. You see it all the time. It's one of the biggest problems. I've heard so many
sunk cost
really good,
fallacy, right?
Yeah, and I've heard so many really good GMs talk about trying to. Chris Ballard has talked about this in depth. Taking a guy and then making sure that the conversation in the building is to make sure to protect against over inflating your own draft picks because of ego and because of all of that. And with Njoku, it just seems like their discussion is very different from what the rest of the league values David Njoku at.
Well, like I said before, I think that Andrew Berry believes that David Njoku is a first-round tight end who hasn't had the opportunity over a consistent period of time. He hasn't had the chance to show what he can do when he's the number one tight end with a good quarterback. These guys really believe that all of their pass catchers, yes, that all of them suffered last year horribly at the hands of an injured Baker Mayfield, and that they will all look a lot better in 2022. And I think that when they look at Deshaun Watson's skill set and match it up with what they believe that David can do. And again, yes, some of it is on a wing and a prayer. They don't know for sure yet, but I think they see good things ahead. So they would be probably willing to pay for that. Or the other strategy could possibly be go out and show us that you can do that for one solid year with Deshaun as your quarterback. Go out and catch those 7 or 8 touchdown passes. And then, you know, let's come back and talk about $13 million a year. But those tight end salaries are going to be going up too. So if he does his extension now, that's even going to start to look reasonable because those numbers are going to go through the roof soon too.
Graduation season, what's your advice to all the grads?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I haven't had to think about that for a little while.
Then you think about it until next week. I'm going to make sure. No, I'm not even going to remember.
Are you good, Mary Kay? You good with a gap year, or do you think we start to go in a different direction?
I say go into the trades.
I'm sorry. Say that one more time.
The gap year. I know that always comes up for students.
Oh, the gap year.
Yeah.
I thought you said the cap year.
Or working at the gap. Whatever.
sorry about that.
You're fine.
Now, you know what? I guess I don't love a gap year. I don't know. I think I'd rather have the kids go right to work if they can. It's not always that easy. Oh, you're talking about gap year before you go to college. So you can do a gap year after college, but that can turn into like a gap, decade if you're not careful.
Gap life.
But no, I'm not.
Yeah, go join the Peace Corps, and next thing you know, you're braiding out your hair all the way down to your knees.
What's wrong with that?
And never really showing the IRS that you've had a job for the last 8 years.
Yeah, I'm not about the gap year. I'm like, keep it rolling. Go get that degree or go get whatever works for you and start following your dreams.
Mary Kay, thank you for the time.
Thank you, guys.
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Ari Wasserman, 920. Up next, we can't blame everything on the outgoing QB that half the fan base doesn't even want to leave. Ken Carmen, Tone on the Fan. Guys, you can't just blame everything on Baker Mayfield, okay?
Well, they didn't with Jarvis Landry.
$13 million a year, what Jeremy Fowler said?
I don't get that
at all. $13 million a year for David Njoku on a long-term deal?
I'm not understanding. We've had how many years of David Njoku?
This will be six.
And he's proven what?
6 years? Like, guys, I can't just say, and I know it sounds like it sometimes for some of you folks, and I apologize for that if it comes off that way. I can't just take a great big blanket and write Baker's fault on it and throw it over everything. Oh, well, you brought up the Landry thing. OBJ, Baker's fault. Stefanski, Baker's fault. Dorsey, Baker's fault. Baker was born in 1995. The Browns moved in 1995. Yep, Baker's
on
fault.
Baker, without a doubt.
Can't do that. $13 million a year long term for David Njoku.
I don't have
an explanation for it.
Explain to me and Ken, what are we missing?
What about Albert Breer? Does he have an explanation for it?
If the league were to make a decision now, then I think they would protect themselves that way. You know, and I think that's part of the drawback in making a final decision now. Obviously, the upside of making a decision now for the NFL is that they don't have to deal with the story in week one, and it won't look like they're sitting on their hands. You know, the problem is if you do make a decision and say it's 6 games or 8 games, and then there's material change to the case in 2023, say the cases go to court in early 2023, and you've already made a decision on what you're going to do, and you've already sanctioned him, there's a chance that either the sanctions were too much or they were too little.
Albert Breer, hear more of that, 92.3thefan.com, his weekly segment on Afternoon Drive.
I do not understand what everybody seems to say with any signing now, and it's not just Cleveland, it's everywhere. Oh, the cap's going up. These deals will look great in 3 years. Not if he's not good. Not if this is the production you'll get on Njoku. This will look terrible. This will look horrendous. You could just draft a tight end and get better production than this. So he has a huge year ahead of him. We talk about guys that have the most pressure on him this year. Number one, Deshaun Watson, right? We know that. When he gets to play, it's Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a good question.
Number two.
Down. Who's got the most pressure on him?
Number two.
Other than Deshaun Watson.
Number two. We've said Cade York and people ripped us. I mean, how much pressure does York have?
Who ripped us for Cade York?
I know somebody did.
Are they stupid? Do we believe that they are smart people? How would there not be pressure on Cade York?
I also feel maybe you think there's pressure for Denzel Ward to play a certain amount of games so that we know that that's a maybe.
Because of the extension.
But Njoku, I mean, come on. We're talking about.
There's more pressure on Njoku because he's playing for today.
Yeah.
He's playing for a contract.
He's not even playing. They can't play.
Right. Well, he might be. You don't know. They're in the Bahamas.
He's on a flight to the Bahamas right now?
The Bahamian football team.
You know you travel a lot when you can go to the Bahamas and concentrate and work out and be on playing football, right? Like, there's no such thing as a working vacation. Like, I went to Jamaica. There was no way I was going to sit there and do sports talk radio while sitting in Jamaica and get ready for a show. That wasn't going to happen.
You're getting irie.
It wasn't going to happen. But you know you travel a lot when you're like, yeah, I'm in the Bahamas and the weather's nice and it's the Bahamas, but now's the time to concentrate on football. You can really clear the mechanism if you can do that. Let me get to Eddie in Westlake.
Eddie.
Hey, man, what's going on?
Hosting a show, Eddie. You don't care. You don't care about what's going on with us. Yeah, you just want to launch into your take, don't you? No, you don't.
Hey, absolutely care, man. Don't shortchange yourself. Mm-hmm. Hey, look, This Njoku contract, we don't even know what it looks like, man. Come on, man. This analytics-based franchise, have they made too many bad contracts?
No, but I'm only going off the $13 million that Jeremy Fowler is writing about, and I go, whoa.
It's taking a life of its own. $13 million a year is probably, in Njoku's case, is probably no more than a three-year deal. Mm-hmm. He acts like he's getting like a six-year deal. He's getting a three-year deal, $13 million a year, with probably like maybe – $17-18 million guaranteed. The tag is 11. He's gonna get 11 guaranteed if he don't do anything but roll out of bed and just sign the paper. So the reality of it is it might be just a little bit more.
Eddie, real quick. I agree with everything you just said. That doesn't sound crazy. And yes, now here we go. The cap is going up and all that stuff. But on the flip side of that, it's the opportunity cost to not allocating another asset like a draft pick to bring in somebody that maybe be able to get the exact same production that Njoku could get. No,
they did that with Harrison Bryant. So you know, guys, listen, you got to look at the where they're spending their money. They're trying to lock up young talent, mm-hmm. and that's what you do. You lock up guys that are 26 or coming off of their first contract. You lock them up long term or as long as you can. And in Njoku's case, he's going to get probably still have to prove himself. So he's going to get a shorter deal, like 3 years, but he's not going to be mad. I mean, it's going to look good because he's going to make $13 million average, so it's going to put him up there with those other guys. But in reality, he's going to get about $18 or $19 million, probably less than $20 guaranteed, which means they're just going to basically be out of this thing in 2 years like they were with Hooper. They're going to be able to get out of this deal in 2 years. Why are we so excited?
Wait, if he's so young and that's what they love about him and all this potential, why are they looking to already get out of the contract in 2 years? He's only going to be what, 26?
Because right now they're in a window to win now, guys. They can't pay everybody. You understand that, right? You don't understand what we just did with our quarterback. Had we just taken the quarterback at 12, then we wouldn't be having to do all of this. You know what I mean? But the reality of it is we didn't do it, okay? So now we had to pay this quarterback. Same thing we would have had to do with Mayfield if he would have performed. They would have had to pay. You have that window. Then when you pay the quarterback, you got to look around and say, hey, is it Kareem Hunt? Extra running back?
Eddie, no. You're good at doing math. Just let me know. Do you think he's worth $13 million a year?
Yeah, well,
I hope you're not driving.
Not $13 million a year guaranteed, no.
Thank you. That's all I asked. That's all we were asking. Eddie was good at doing the Scott Steiner math. That's a great job. I know. I saw the same thing you did.
The way Dustin, you phrased it. It's a joke I've seen 1,000 times, the phrasing of it.
He didn't really rip us from the Cade York thing. He's smarter.
I don't think so.
He's smarter. Got a good beard, too. All right, coming up at 9:20. Ari Wasserman joins us on the show. Up next, Lima, do you think this man should guarantee a championship now? Should he guarantee a championship? Who is that man? We'll tell you who that man is next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.